President?
Yes.
Mr. President, I'm taking advantage of the opportunity you once offered us to call you when there's a tough situation on, and I wondered if you could felt that you could give me any of your feelings about the situation in Vietnam, sir.
Tom, off the record, strictly off the record, I think that you know about as much as we do. The State Department, it's middle of the night out there, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know that anyone, I don't know whether this fellow himself knows what he wants to do. It's a confused situation, and I don't think that he has decided what his plans are. Not anything that I know that Mac Bundy hadn't told Scotty or the State Department folks haven't told you that we can say. I think it'll clarify itself after this thing goes a little bit longer, but as of now, there's not a thing that I know that Mac hadn't already told him or the State Department people.
Yes, sir. Well, I just I wondered in particular how you felt this might affect your situation at home as far as you can see it now.
I think that we've got problems a good many spots in the world. We just have to meet them as they come up and do what we think's right about them. I don't see that there's usually a different one every morning. This is one that stays with us. We've got a long, difficult picture there, and we just have to meet it as it comes up. I don't think it world come to an end one way or the other.
Yes, sir. Well, until then, there's some clearer indication of a fundamental change situation out there.
We've had 5-6 change situations since the first year out there, you know.
Right.
And there's here's a fellow comes in and says that he wants to change the situation involving some of the leadership, and doesn't fire shot, doesn't create any disturbances. Nobody's heard, and it's 4:30 in the morning. That's about it.
And so the thing for us to do is to keep, if I read you right, is to keep plugging along and hold out, not to get excited, and keep seeing how it develops.
I think it would be a very serious mistake for me or anybody like me to be making a political speech or irresponsible about a situation that changes from time to time. And ever since Jim was overthrown, why, you've had, here's the head of state, big man, he's there in Saigon now. Nobody's touched him, and he's still head of state. He goes up and down the streets unmolested. And I think you just have to take a good reading and see what will develop as it develops.
Yes, sir. And well, to put it very bluntly, you don't feel that your political situation here at home is headed.
I haven't thought one second about my political situation here at home. I don't think it's affected. I think that people of the United States want you to do what you can do, and they pretty well unite behind their president and problems, and I don't think that they think I got anything to do with whether a big man can go up and down the street unmolested or not. They all hope, I think, that we'll have as stable a government as we can. They all realize that we have our problems, but we don't gain anything by talking about how stable it is or how it isn't, as far as they're concerned. And what we talk from here doesn't affect it very much. I think that we'll just have to see what develops out there as we get better readings on it than we got now. I don't think that you can determine what's in somebody else's mind if he doesn't know himself. Maybe.
Yes, sir. You once told me that Senator Goldwater, in getting into the, or any opponent that you might have at that time, could advocate either more war or more appeasement in Vietnam. Do you think that's still the situation he would be in?
I don't know. You have to talk to Senator Goldwater about his statements. He makes one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and I don't know what his feeling is. I have never tried to discuss his situation. If I did, I did it unconsciously. I believe you're in error. I don't think I said send the Goldwater.
Right, you're right.
I think that all of us, it's pretty elementary. It's a seventh grade boy that there are three or four courses of conduct could have been advocated. I believe at Rockefeller, and I believe at Nixon, and I believe at Goldwater, and I believe at Nixon have talked from time to time about bombing them out and going north. I think that's an accurate appraisal of what they've said. General Eisenhower has felt differently. I think that Morris and some of them have talked about getting out. And I think there's been some indication by a few folks, very limited, that maybe we ought to, General de Gaulle may have some of his neutralization. Now, I believe that the large majority of public opinion and military opinion and diplomatic opinion is that we have to try to get them to do their fighting and give them as much guidance and as much support as we can, and we hope that it's as well organized and under as stable leadership as we can get, and that's quite a problem in that area.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, I appreciate this very much.
Thank you, Tom. I wished I could give you more, but I think it's accurate to conclude that it's not a situation such as you ran into a gym or you'd have firing in the streets.
Yes, sir. That seems evident.
You have big men there in the town going up and down the streets unmolested and unperturbed, apparently. And he's the head of the state. This fellow has come in and told newspaper men, more than he's told us, that he was going to make some adjustments for some political leaders. Now, what they agree on and what they do or how it evolves, I think you'll have to wait till daylight and watch developments. We have Westmoreland, we have Johnson, and we'll have Taylor in there. I believe that the country and the world and our allies feel that they're as competent as we could produce. I believe that Lodge thinks that, and everybody that's dealt with them. I know that McNamara and Rusk do. Now, in the light of that, I think that we just got to be careful we're not irresponsible and we don't add any problems to what they have. Now, as long as we have that situation out there, until there's a great deal more progress made in Asia than has been made, recent years, while we're going to have uncertainties and serious problems there, and you just can't turn it off or on like a switch.
Yes, sir.
And I think that it'll become a little clearer to you what he has in mind. If they try to move him out, or if he voluntarily moves back where he was, or if he tries to move them out, why, you'll see. You'll see a pattern, but that's not clear now, and I don't think he knows really what he wants to do. I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but that's my judgment.
Mr. President, that's a great help to us.
I don't think that he's, I don't think that you could put a great deal of reliance on what he would do right now, or the wisdom of his decisions, or the wisdom of his leadership. And we have felt, the government has felt, and the people that we have trained in these fields have felt that Khan was the best we had at this time. And I don't think there's any change in that attitude. I think that we have to your standpoint is wanting to be first and responsible and in depth. I think you have to conclude that they have not indicated themselves what they want to do. They have not said to Con that you've got to leave or we're taking over or you've got to do this or that, or they haven't locked him up or men or anything like that. They haven't even fired a shot or taken a pistol out of the scabbard. They haven't thrown their weight around. Now, you'd be irresponsible if you speculated on what they're going to do, because you don't know and I don't know. And what we have to report is what it is up to now, and this is we've expected all along, as everybody's told you from January up to now, they do have a relatively unstable situation there that could create problems any time. And you papered day before yesterday, and yesterday all pointed out that you do have that, and that's one of the reasons our best people, Tom, have not recommended more acts on our part. You can see it pretty clear now. I don't want none of this is attribution or quotation to me or any way where it would be embarrassing to me with other papers, because I'm not going to call 1500, but I am going to call Reston, and I'm going to call you anytime you want me to, so that you feel that you don't have to guess. You can hear and judge yourself of what I'm saying. But I believe that it's pretty clear to a fair, objective person that it's not the better part of wisdom or valor to start dropping bombs on the coast of China when you can't protect the police station in Saigon.
Absolutely.
Do you see what I mean? And if these 4, 8, or 10 battalions, whatever they have, can come in and come down the streets of Saigon and take charge of the radio and the governmental offices, if they can do that, what could your enemy do if you were off committing your troops other places and trying to extend your offensive? So our first problem there is to try to get those people to quit their fighting among themselves and have a stable leadership. And of course, we got that problem in this country too. people gonna try to decide that in November, but you just can't mash a button and get it done. Because again, I wouldn't have cold water run against me. I just wouldn't. I'd just run by myself.
A lot of people wish you could.
We'll work very closely with you, and anything that we can tell you, you talk to Mac Bundy or the boy over to state. And if anything else that I can do, I'll be glad to. Protect me, though.
I certainly shall, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.